Hey, Pastor, can you hear me?
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Hey, And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to my conversation with my next guest. And I'm so grateful to Sandy for getting us connected. He is a national security professional with service in five eras: Cold War, Peace Dividend, War on Terror, War in Chaos, and now the Great Power Showdown, the Fight to Save Our Republic. He's a former director of cybersecurity policy, strategy, and international affairs at the Department of Defense, and a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy with my good friend Frank Gaffney, and our previous guest that was just on right before Lynn, and that's Dr. David Wormser, who's another dear friend of mine. And so I'm very pleased to welcome retired Colonel John Mills to the program. Colonel Mills, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Pastor Young, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
I was actually a Russian linguist during the Cold War with the United States Air Force. So I have a little bit of familiarity with the battle that we fought with that. We have not seen in my lifetime, I'm 61 years old, I don't think we've ever seen anything like what we are watching happen right now. Can you give me your professional assessment? And in light of the fact we had 51 intel officers that lied, not only once, but twice. They lied in 2016, and they lied again in 2020. No consequences. You know, no big deal. I mean, Colonel, where are we at here?
Well, there are terms that I think are important. This is a bum rush of a color revolution to try to capsize America. 2016, they thought they had it in the bag for Hillary. They were shocked, and in 2020, they're going to pull out all the stops and make sure it doesn't happen again. Anybody who challenges that, and I've shut down a number of these election deniers who said, I just looked at their admission in the February of 2021 Time Magazine cover story, where it explains everything. That I look at that as their confession of guilt on how they threw everything, and I call it maladministration. It was all forms of malfeasance to make sure they won. Yeah, the 51 intel officers, 11 of whom I personally worked with. This was a lie. We know it was a lie. They haven't retracted this. I think they could be charged with false statements because some of them were technically out of office, but this was arose to the level where they were using their title and position that they had encumbered. So I think it was a lie, but this is an attempt to totally take over by globalists and elites. And there is a deep state. My first book, The Nation Will Follow, I go through that. There is a deep state. There is an elite. There is a swamp. China is the top. And Donald J. Trump was exactly correct. And they pulled out all the stops to make sure in 2020 that Donald J. Trump would not return to office.
Do you look at this and say this was a coup? Would you classify this as a coup?
It was a coup from the beginning, and I was inside government in early 2016 when at high-level, highly classified, high-level meetings, we started hearing Trump, 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 Russia, Russia, Russia. And I'm a professional at this time. I'm a senior civilian. Civilians in the government take an oath of office, just like the military.
Sure.
And I go, well, you know, I'm a professional, and okay, so if Trump's a Russian asset, I want to know about it. And guess what? You know, guess who was feeding that information? A guy named Charles McGonigal, who at that time was director of counterintelligence in the largest FBI field office in the world, New York. He's now been arrested for what? Working for the Russians. So he was in on it. But that's, you know, I realized there was a coup, but it was in about July of 2016. I was rushing to a meeting in the Pentagon, ran into one of my good friend, mentor, a colleague who'd been a senior Bush appointee during the Bush W's tenure. And this is during Obama's time. So kind of curious why he was in the building, but I was rushing to a meeting. He was rushing to a meeting. That's what you do in the Pentagon, is rush to meetings.
Sure.
And I said, I just said, hey, you're going to support Trump at the convention. Now, I knew the person guy really well. Oops, I kind of identified somewhat. I said, I knew the guy. I knew he was involved in Republican politics. The convention was just days away. And I said, you're going to support Trump at the convention, right? And his response changed everything for me. Not as important as becoming a saved believer in Christ, but it really changed everything on how I look at the career and what's going on in America. And he said, no, we see more opportunities with her.
Wow.
I said, I almost immediately lunged at him. I said, who is we and what opportunities do you see?
Yeah. I mean, you're inside the walls of the Pentagon. And in that moment, that had to be almost like Saul getting knocked off of his horse, right? Except by an evil dark light, not by the light of Christ. I mean, that is just, that's stunning. It's stunning.
Yeah, that changed everything in a nanosecond. Right there, my whole career flashed in front of me. And like I said, I lunged at him. Who is we and what opportunities do you see? And right then, I was not really a passionate Trump guy at that point. I've actually been a Ted Cruz guy.
I was a Cruz guy. I was a 100%. Rafael Cruz is a very close friend.
Yeah. And I mean, and his dad spoke at Yesley Vega's, one of her rallies. It was awesome. But I said, hey, 16 in a row. That's my guy. That's my guy. So I just right then and there, I realized everything Donald J. Trump was saying about a swamp, a deep state, was true. And from that point on, I knew it was war between us and them. And I used the Rasmussen number from last year. 84% of Americans believe in a deep state. That means there's only 16% who don't. I think we're the majority. Let's start acting like it. And, later, two other events that I outline in the book were critical because I call it a dinner in London. I was on a flight to London in the first few days of October 2016.
Okay.
Look around, several people I'd worked with. It's pretty hard on a flight to London not to see, from Dulles, not to see somebody you worked with in the past. Our retired general, but I also saw a former very senior FBI executive that I worked very closely with over the years, sat across from him literally dozens and dozens and dozens of times at the White House in meetings, and a person I respected, had been very helpful for me on a trip to China. But I talked to him. It wasn't really clear why he was in there. I was going to London for a Five Eyes meeting. I was the senior official in charge of information sharing with the Five Eyes.
Okay.
Five English-speaking countries, our closest relationship. And so a few nights later, it was October 6th. I still have the menu. I still have a picture of the menu also. And I was at a dinner totally unrelated to the Five Eyes thing, and my former FBI colleague was there. And we all get the microphone, and you say what you're passionate about. Sing for your supper a little bit, a private dinner in downtown London. And everybody there is a globalist or elite, most of them, except for me. And so when the microphone gets to him, he just has a meltdown, says, we're going to prove Trump is a Russian asset. And most people in the room are confused. And they're just like, they remember Russia was not a story at this time. And most people are guffawing and going, oh, come on, Hillary's going to clean the floor with this guy. Come on, this is right. A joke. What are you talking right. about? And I'd never seen this guy like this. I never seen it. And when I went back and did the forensics later as part of my legal statements, I realized there's only one reason he would have been in London. And because he was a personal friend with James Comey, very good friends. And James Comey had spun up Operation Crossfire Hurricane.
Right. Yep.
And I'm sure he went to London at the behest of Comey to coordinate the story with Gina Haspel, chief of station for the CIA in London at the time, and Fusion GPS, the fraud story. Fraud. Even we now know factually Comey knew it was a fraud, still did it anyway as an insurance policy.
Let me ask you a quick question.
There are a few.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question. So And so Comey is running Operation Crossfire. Brennan, on the other hand, was calling in favors with the Brits and others because he needed them to validate or create a false sense of validation of the intel information, kind of like what Comey did with the newspaper leak, right? So he gets the newspaper to run the story, and now it's out there, and now all he has to do is validate the newspaper's story. It's the same kind of information plant. Am I thinking right in that, Colonel? Oh, yeah.
No. I mean, yeah. Then he validates the story that he leaked. I mean, this is typical parlor tricks in the swamp in D.C. And so Comey and Brennan are actually working together on Fusion GPS. And later in early 2018, you know, I'm in an office in downtown D.C. and meeting with somebody, and they come in and say, "Hey, guess who's on the other side of the drywall?" I said, "Oh, I give up. Who's on the other side of the drywall?" They said, "Well, that's General Hayden doing his twice a week coordination call with Comey, Brennan, and Clapper." So, you know, the swamp is, there is a uniparty. They are working together. And so, which we knew. It's a fraud.
Yeah.
But Comey and Brennan are absolutely creating the story. And they factually knew it was false. And these are false statements by federal officials, false statements, because they were in office at the time.
What?
But then a couple of days after the election, I was called on the top level phone in my office, in my skip in the Pentagon. And I was just, it was a colleague who said, "John, we've got to have you on the intel community assessment we're spinning up in the interagency. We're going to finalize Trump is a Russian asset and delay or block the inauguration." And I just said, "This is insanity."
Absolute, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, now let me back up for just a second, because something else that we've tracked here on the program and garnered is that part of Brennan's arrangement was that Snowden would be involved in getting programming that Brennan would then funnel to our quote unquote allies in exchange for them propping up this phony Russian story. Have you heard anything about any of that kind of information?
Yeah, I'm not totally sure about the Ed Snowden thing.
Okay.
And I'm on the rail, on the fence with Snowden. Clearly, our massive collection capability, which I helped create, and I talk a lot more about in book two, War Against the Deep State, coming out in the fall.
Okay.
But I was one of the key figures that helped create the massive surveillance foundation. But one of the things you're talking about, it's called the Five Eyes end around method, which gets you around the FISA court process in collecting on people who are American citizens. Because if you're doing a collection, as you would know from your time, the control measures and mechanisms, if an American is part of the collection, comes up during the collection, you immediately have to raise your hand, essentially put a pause on everything, get the duty lawyer to start assessing things. And you may start have to masking. You may have to hand it over to FBI to get FISA approval to collect on this American. So it's a very controlled process, but the Five Eyes end around method, it's existed for years, but it wasn't used that often. But that's where in any of your operations centers where you're doing joint collection and you have a Five Eyes officer from the UK, from Canada, from Australia, New Zealand, they walk up and do a table drop and drop the papers on the center on the desk in the center of the operations center and walk away. And then you turn around and go, "Whoa, what's this? Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very, oh, and we don't have to report it or get it ensnared in the FISA process,"
right,
and things like that. Because
right,
a Five Eyes partner said, "Hey, as part of our collection operation, an American came up in the collection process and we thought you just might like to see the transcripts." And you go, "Yeah, so hey, no harm, no foul. You know, we get it. We're not violating the FISA process. what, it's called the end of round. But that exploded in early 2016, was suddenly we were getting drowned in these table drops. Well, if it's not, you know, rare, infrequent, incidental, things like that, that is no longer
that should be an alarm, right? That you, somebody's getting. Somebody's alarm should go off and go, wait, why are you feeding us all of this stuff all of a sudden? Why are you consistently table dropping? This isn't normal. You know, if this isn't, in other words, it's not incidental. It's incidental when an American just kind of pops up and you say, hey, I just thought I should let you know. It's not incidental when it's almost like you're filing reports on the tabletop on a regular basis. And it's like, oh, what are you doing here exactly? But that was what Brennan orchestrated in order to create the ruse.
Yeah, Gina Haspel, you know, and
sure.
I need to go back and figure out who the NSA senior official was at the embassy during that time. That's actually could be an important point in updating my statements to Durham. But it would be nice to know who the senior NSA. But clearly, Gina Haspel was talking to GCHQ, the UK NSA equivalent.
And her atta girl was, hey, now you're going to be the head of the CIA, by the way. And how does, you know, this is the thing that has me the most concerned relative to President Trump. I think, yeah, he probably should be the guy. I get all of that. But it's his choices about certain key people and positions around him that he made and he signed off on, like Haspel, that I'm just like, okay, so where is he getting his intel? And somebody's got to say to him, Mr. President, these are not good people.
That's a complex question. In full transparency, I was a Trump appointee the last 18 months of his tenure. I was not on board it yet. Why? Well, there's issues, and this is part of legal proceedings, so I can't go into any detail.
Understood.
But this is the game. You just have too many compromised people in too many positions, but you got great people for the second and third terms, you know, like Russ Vought and others that are making sure we're going to do a much better job vetting. Because you had like that that person I ran into in 2016,
right?
The Never Trumper. Guess who they were during the Trump administration? They were a Trump appointee.
They were probably DIA, but nobody, you know.
Yeah, so it's challenging. I mean, and it was a full blown coup from that time. From before they waged a war. This is what my the basis of my Durham statements. As it was a war against candidate Trump, and then a coup against President-elect and President Trump that continues right to this very second.
Okay, so Colonel, you and I both know we took the same oath. Under that oath, under UCMJ, these individuals having committed a coup against the sitting president of the United States. It's one thing if the president, like we have even right now, right? We've got a president sitting in office who has committed crimes, who actually somebody should step in it, and the sergeant at arms should arrest him and say, you have to sit out until you go to trial. But in this instance, everything is fake. Everything was phony. Everything, it was a full-on coup. Where are the consequences? I mean, I think that's the thing people are screaming about right now. They're saying, okay, well, Mr. Durham, it would appear that you interviewed people who gave you all of the meat. What's going on?
Well, and there was good things. Remember, Charles McGonigal has been arrested, okay, for working for the Russians, the FBI head of counterintelligence that was the basis for all these early 2016 Russia, 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 Trump, Trump, Trump. Now it's funny because I am very positive and confident that was intentionally stripped out of the Durham investigation, that as Bulldog Durham was fighting to get his report out, that he was forced to concede and take that out. Why? Because they didn't want the Durham report to look like it was consequential. But that's sure. pretty darn important. Charles McGonigal has been arrested. That guy's going to go away for years. That bad guy.
Okay.
He was taking money from the Russians, and he was the facilitator of the fake Russia, Trump. Now, the Durham report, people gloss right over page 11, five criminal referrals. Criminal referrals are a very bad thing. That means these are ongoing investigations, and three of them sure sound like some of the information I gave to the Durham investigation. So we still got at least five ongoing fraud, criminal cases. Now, the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, only applies to military, not to civilians. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these were civilians. And we now have what's called legal sufficiency to proceed with an impeachment inquiry. Everybody wants to just run out there, stand up the gallows, and start hanging people. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not
right.
not the way we operate.
Right.
And that's
which
not
is good, so which is to our credit. Yeah, which is to our, I mean, we don't want that. We don't want just rogue, you know, I mean, that is essentially what President Trump faced for 4 years, was rogue impeachments. I mean, they were unlawful acts by Congress, quite frankly, in my opinion.
Oh, well, yeah, but we've got to get smarter in our fight. They are waging lawfare. They control the institutions, mm-hmm. and we've got to become smarter and more agile on this and hit back hard. I'm working on a legal filing related to the unlawful collusion between government and social media. That's very closely related to the Missouri and Louisiana case against Joe Biden right now. Wow. Which has been, you know, incredible. We have the atomic bomb that went off on July 4th mm-hmm. with Judge Dottie saying, U.S. government, there is no legal basis for doing what you're doing. And Garland came back and said, Judge, you're right. This is horrible. We're going to stop. We're going to investigate. We're going to hold people accountable. No.
What a joke.
He doubled
yeah.
down.
Yeah, what a joke. Well, I mean, you have an attorney general of the United States who's a seated criminal. I mean, the guy is a criminal. He's a criminal. And he's running a criminal, and he's running his own criminal enterprise under the cover of the color of the president. I mean, that's what he's doing.
Yeah, Garland is totally should be and I'm pretty positive will be forced out of office through impeachment proceedings. Total rogue. And, you know, so he asked for a stay on Judge Dottie. Judge Dottie said no. You know, so I mean, the DOJ is saying, oh, we have to collude with social media to silence people. Really? Where? What's the legal basis? Please point to a law. I challenge them to point to a law where that is their basis for doing this. I didn't get through 40 years of government service without ever being charged or indicted, without knowing intimately the legal authority and the legal left and right limits of doing what I was doing, and usually had a lawyer strapped onto each hip, because you have to know this stuff intimately or you're going to run afoul.
We're going to run out of time here. I'm loving this conversation, sir. I really am. And I'm going to get with Sandy. I've got to get you back on because there's so much more for us to cover. Here's my final question to you is this. Is there light at the end of this tunnel? Should the American people consider that there is some hope for justice in the midst of all this?
Yeah, absolutely. And in the book, The Nation Will Follow, that's where I describe an action plan. The preface is by Stephen K. Bannon. Book two, the preface and forward will be by Russ Vought, who is Trump's OMB director. But in book one, The Nation Will Follow, give an action plan. And ladies and gentlemen, 95% of us need to spend 97% of our energy right where we live, securing our seven common governance centers of gravity in the 3,300 or so county and county equivalents. So don't get mad at the swamp and the deep state at the national level. It stands right upon corruption, right where we live. And if you've got to get off the couch and get on the game, put down your bowl of loudmouth soup, stop bellowing. You got to go to these stupid, boring county council election board school board, registrar, sheriff, judges, and prosecutors. You've got to engage and dominate. Make sure you have a clean county. That's what the swamp stands upon at the national and the international level, are dirty counties.
All right. John, thank you so much for being here. I am just thrilled that you've come on the program, and with what we've discussed today, I so greatly appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Now, thank you, Pastor, so much. I appreciate being allowed. And again, it's thenationwillfall.com is where you can get the book and the action plan to save America.
Okay, the nation. I've got that underneath there, your name, The Nation Will Follow. And so thenationwillfollow.com would be the website they can turn to.
You can also pre-order book 2, War Against the Deep State, prefaced by Russ Vaught. If you want to get an autographed copy of book 1, The Nation Will Follow, go to Mike Lindell's My Store, and you get an autographed copy there.
Well, I'd love to get one of those. That would be a hoot. I'd love to do that. All right, we're going to take our break. Rob Schilling is going to be joining us coming up next. They are trying to kill us. I'll show you the video. I'll show you what they're doing. We'll be back with that coming up right after this. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Coming up right after this. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. All right, folks, I've been holding this this video literally all day today, specifically for right now, and I want to drop this on you folks because it so fits what Rob Schilling and I are going to talk about next. So let me refresh this page.
This is unbelievably devastating news coming out of Canada. Garnett Harper was denied a kidney transplant because he wasn't vaccinated. No doctor or hospital in Ontario would perform the surgery, despite his two brothers volunteering to donate. Garnett tragically passed away on May 22nd, leaving his wife of 12 years and their five children. He was only 35 years old. While Garnett was near death in the hospital had the nerve to ask his wife if they could harvest his organs when he died. According to the government, Garnett wasn't worthy of a transplant while he was alive, but he was most definitely worthy as an organ donor once he died.
Folks, they're not trying. They are killing people. The government, and I don't refer to it as the government. There are tyrants that have taken over this nation, and they are killing people literally with impunity. Rob, there's hardly words.
You know, Pastor Greg, it's interesting because I had a guest on my program probably about a year ago by the name of Shamgar Connors, who was in a very similar situation looking for a transplant, denied all over the place, including the University of Virginia, which is where I live here in Charlottesville, Virginia. But it was just despicable. This poor man, you know, qualifying in every other way. But they said, no, you must have this jab in order to get your transplant and otherwise forget it. So this is a story that's probably repeated many more times than we're aware of, but the one you just referenced in Canada is despicable.
And then to say to his wife, oh, by the way, can we harvest his organs? We're not going to do a transplant. We have two individuals with matches. We could easily do this surgery and save his life, but nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to kill him, but before he dies, we'd like to harvest his organs.
It's nothing short of ghoulish, and it kind of also is harkening back to the story of Scott Shara, and I'd imagine you'd have Scott on the program.
I have,
but
yep.
His daughter Grace was murdered by a hospital, according to his evidence and his testimony, under the same sort of COVID reasons. This is just awful, and I'm so glad that the truth is, I mean, it's been out for a while, but it's starting to actually become visible to people.
You had a story, if I'm not mistaken, also to share with us that had to do with a UVA health, former UVA health employee who was denied a religious exemption on the vax. Tell me about what happened with him.
Yeah, this is a woman by the name of Casey McCoy.
Okay.
Now, I want to preface this story by saying that I broadcast a radio program from this area, which is in the home of the University of Virginia, University of Virginia Medical Center. I've had family members in the University of Virginia Medical Center and received good personal treatment for that. But the people that are running this are certainly tyrants. And during the course of the COVID shutdowns, I was contacted off the air by many people who were working for UVA Health, who just entrusted me with this information. Hey, I'm getting put into a bad situation because the university has told me if I don't get this shot, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my benefits and everything that's accrued up to this point. And it's basically get vaxxed or get out. So that's to give you some background that this is not a unique case. And I heard from a lot of people. Now, I did not hear from Casey McCoy, and I was so glad to find out about this story. She took University of Virginia to court, and there was an opinion issued by Judge Claude Worrell, who is no conservative judge. I'm aware of his work, and I was very pleased that he came up with this decision. But basically what he said was they acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner. And people who've heard that term before understand it means you're just doing something willy-nilly or because you feel like it and there's right. no justification in denying her claim for a religious exemption. And in doing so, he awarded them to, quote unquote, restore her. In other words, they could not keep her off the payroll to reinstate her pay for whatever period of time it was, at least a couple of years plus interest. Wow. This is a huge development. And you know what's interesting, Greg, is not so I've got a radio show. I'm on the air for 1 hour a day and I have a blog, which sometimes get national attention. None of the local media picked up on this for about a week until the pressure became too hot. And then they finally published it. But they tried to keep this a secret. It's no longer a secret.
And this seems to be a pattern that's happening across the country. I mean, what happened at UVA is not an isolated situation. I know Tom Renz, who you're probably familiar with Tom. You know, he's taken on these kinds of cases all across the country where individuals are being forced. Told that if they don't take these vaccines, I had actually, and I, you may have already had her on, but I had a nurse that came on that was forced, and actually she trusted them. This was early on, and she was like, okay, you know, she took it, and she immediately had a stroke, and you know, she struggles to tell her story because of the effects of the vax, but it's very apparent what has happened to her, and she's not alone.
You know, she's not alone, and I've had several people come on the air and testify about the after effects. There's one lady that comes to mind who was employed by the local school division here in Charlottesville, and she decided that she really didn't want to get this shot. However, she did not want to sacrifice her family's medical care that was coming through her position. So she said, oh, what the heck? I'll take one for the team. Well, she was having negative effects almost immediately and ultimately ended up having to have a hysterectomy at an age below 40 years old when it never would have been. Happened before. No reason for that other than the complications here. And I've talked to many people I know within my own circle, people who have had heart attacks and other sorts of really bad responses. Now, what's interesting about UVA, and I would imagine this is the sort of games that are being played in other places, and I want to share with your audience, Pastor Greg, that UVA had a little secret committee that came up with a secret little list of churches or denominations that they said, well, these are the approved ones. We think these are the only ones that are essentially going to qualify for a religious exemption. They didn't publicize the list. They kept it secret, and they pretty much ranked everybody based on whether or not they belonged to these mostly rather obscure denominations, and everybody else was told to go pound sand. This came out. This was a document that was part of the trial evidence and was released in another court case to kind of show people what's going on here. So I would imagine this sort of game playing and trickery is going on at all of these other places. They're finding every way they can to get around the rules.
Well, and they're lying to us about what's, you know, what's really happening. I mean, they're doing everything they can to hide the statistics, to bury the statistics, to make up excuses. It's interesting, you know, back when they wanted the COVID money, you know, they labeled all the death certificates, right, as COVID. My mother-in-law passed away here in our home. Yeah. And the funeral director said to me, don't be alarmed, but they are going to mark this as a COVID death. And I was like, what? And she said, well, because, you know, the doctor gets X numbers of dollars and the funeral home gets X numbers of dollars and everybody gets paid off. But they have to mark it as COVID. And sure enough, her death certificate said COVID on it as the cause of death.
This is the story that we were hearing over and over again. The juxtaposition is dying of COVID versus dying with COVID. And virtually every person who died with COVID, not of COVID, they might have had it at some point, classified as a COVID death for the exact reasons that you cite, Greg, because they wanted money. And every step along the way, there was a bump in money. When people were in the hospital, put them on a ventilator, more money. People in the hospital, give them remdesivir, more money. Yeah. This just kept going on and on and on. And not only was it destructive to public health and harmed and probably killed a lot of people, the other thing is that the numbers were vastly distorted. So again, the truth is starting to come out about the numbers. I know you've probably seen some of the work Steve Kirsch has done and some others, Alex Berenson in
Naomi Wolf,
analyzing this data, but it's far worse than we thought. And I hope people who were not paying attention before or who trusted the authorities are paying attention now.
Well, and I saw something just yesterday or the day before, an individual that was on talking about that the statistics that they had seen, 65% of the people who have received the vax have suffered from myocarditis.
It's a huge number. And when we see all of these young people who have no other health problems, athletes in the prime of their life in their late teens, early 20s, just dropping dead. And you know what's interesting is that we hear this story over and over again, and they come up with every other sort of reason other than the most obvious. Well, it's this, it's that, you know, they just happened. There's no coincidence with all these other things going on. So we know what the truth is. The rates of cancer have risen astronomically, and there have been many other medical problems in addition to all of the myocarditis, the heart problems, the reproductive health problems that women and men have had. This list goes on and on, and we're only a couple of years into this. Imagine things that are taking longer to manifest, Pastor Greg. The explosion.
We don't even know.
We
don't even know what we might anticipate is happening down the road. There was another video that I saw that I thought was interesting, and this was an old Jesse Ventura and Alex Jones interview from it was a long time ago, back in the I think it was the late 80s, maybe early 90s, but back then, where there was someone who was coming out and saying, you know, they're going to use medical tyranny, they're going to use vaccines to thin down the population. And
this has been a plan for a long time, and we know there are people who are in control in high places who are representing the globalists, the internationalists, who believe there's way too many people on the earth, and they like to cull the herd way down, 75-80%. There was a clip that I heard over the weekend on Jen Markell's show where there was Kamala Harris was talking about this laundry list of things to do, and one of the other things, it had to do with green energy and making supposedly clean air. And then she said something about, and then we can also make sure that our population decreases or something like that in the same breath. And I'm like, okay, she just let the cat out of the bag. She's in on it. She knows what's going on. Yep. And that was a teleprompter delivered speech. So it was no error, even though they tried to claim it was.
Well, this is the thing I think that we need to understand, Rob, is that when we talk about this, I think it's really difficult to digest, right? When you watch an interview of Margaret Sanger of Planned Parenthood back in the 1960s, and you listen to her talk about how she wants to exterminate a certain group of individuals, and sterilization, and that this is the purpose of Planned Parenthood, okay? You know, 60 years later, we look at that, we say, oh my gosh, it's so evil. And they just took down her statue out of New York, just took it down in the last year. My point is this, we've got to look at this from 30,000 feet, Rob, and recognize this is absolutely good versus evil. And there is a satanic and demonic element that is associated with the side that is trying to wipe out God's creation.
It's exactly what they're trying to do. So this is a multifaceted approach. They're attacking in the womb before they're born. They're attacking the children in schools after they're born. And they're attacking adults and individuals with these medical therapies. There's a full press attack, and it's clearly demonic. It's clearly inspired by Satan. And the sooner that we all acknowledge that, the better. I think part of the problem is, and part of the difficulty, like you said, it's hard to grasp this amount of evil. So I think for years when people were talking about Margaret Sanger, and a lot of people like, she just wouldn't do that. You know, Planned Parenthood's just in business to try to keep young women from getting pregnant. They would never. They would
or
never
mammograms.
After the black population,
the mammogram lie.
Hispanics or other minorities. I just can't believe it. It's too far-fetched. And today, I think we have the same normalization bias. Hey, I trust the CDC. I trust the WHO. These are medical professionals. I trust my doctor. I trust my hospital. They're out there to take care of me. We have to be able to get beyond that and to really see what's going on. Like you said, from a 30,000 foot view, this is immense evil, and it's just hard for people to grasp it.
Well, and I think, you know, the church is responsible for that, because the church now doesn't want to talk about sin. They don't want to address the reality that Scripture says that the heart of man is evil. It's wicked. Okay. Salvation takes place when there is a change from one nature to another. That has to happen. The crucified with Christ part of the salvation message is absolutely necessary. Your old man has to die. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why? Why is it necessary for the old man to die? I just recently watched Come Out in Jesus' Name. Pastor Greg Locke's really been focusing on the deliverance ministry. Did you get a chance to see that yet?
I have not seen it yet.
Very powerful. I've been doing deliverance ministry now for 20 years. And I can tell you, there's no Christian that I know that doesn't need deliverance. And he's really done a good job of presenting the reasoning behind it that folks need to understand. We think of deliverance and we think exorcism and we think, you know, possession, but it's not about possession. It's about oppression.
It's a really good point. And I think that aspect of our existence, again, a lot of people don't want to deal with that. They don't want to understand the spiritual oppression that we go under, the attacks that we have, the spiritual warfare in high places that's going on all around us. We can't see it. We can certainly feel it if we're attuned to it. But instead, here's what churches in this area are doing. There's one church here, a local Baptist church, where the pastor is putting on a commercial right now to eat your vegetables and honor God by eating your veggies. I'm not kidding you. This commercial is running presently. That's the message of the pastor at this Baptist church in Charlottesville. There was another one not so long ago where they were talking about ringing the bell 31 times for climate change. This is what churches are doing here in Charlottesville, and I could go on with a laundry list of examples, but this is not unique to Charlottesville. This right. is exactly what you were talking about. The churches are on the wrong track, and they're not talking about the right things.
And the key to the transformation truly is we've got to get back to recognizing that sin's not fun. Sin is death. You know, sin has been given. And I'm trying to remember the singer who sang a lot about that. He passed away in a plane accident a number of years ago, and I'm not talking about Mullins. I'm talking about the other gentleman who played the piano. At any rate, one of the songs that he wrote is, you know, they don't believe in me anymore. And it was a kind of a parody about Satan saying, you know, I can come out and I can parade myself because they don't believe in me anymore. They don't believe that I exist anymore. So because of that, I'm able to be more arrogant, more out in your face.
It's a great point. And what we've seen, particularly within the past couple of years, and in some ways, COVID and the lockdowns have enabled a light to be shown over all of this because it was hidden before. But we see people marching around, trumpeting the fact that they had an abortion. We see young girls, like I had here in Charlottesville in a video, who are saying how abortion is such a wonderful thing. These are high schoolers. And it's just a matter of children wanting to kill younger children. This is being glorified. And then we wonder why we have all these societal problems, why we have shootings, and why life is not valued. And so, yes, absolutely. The darkness is out there. And instead of acknowledging what it is and what the source is, people just pretend that there's no source for it and that it's just out there. And like you said, they think this is a fun way of life. It's certainly not, but that's the way they're looking at it. And this brings us a lot of problems in our society.
Keith Green is the one that I'm thinking of. Yes. Yeah, Keith Green. And he wrote the song, No One Believes in Me Anymore. And how prophetic that was, you know, when we think again about, you know, and churches teach that, Rob. Churches teach, well, there's no hell and there's no Satan and there's no wages of sin is death. And how would a loving God wouldn't do that? Well, you know, Billy Graham preached on this, and I've seen a video on that was pretty cool. Hell was not intended for us. It was intended for the demons. But we choose. And if God was an unloving God, then he wouldn't present us with the choice.
Well, there has to be justice, and we know that God is just in the way that it manifests. Some of it's a mystery to us, and others will be very clear as we go about our daily existence. But if everyone just gets a free pass, no matter how you conduct yourself, no matter what sins you embrace, no matter whether or not you accept Jesus or you find, quote, an alternate path, then it just totally negates the purpose for the cross. Yeah. And so we have to realize there's an exclusivity in Christianity, but it's open to everybody. It's a free gift. And yet people, and this is what breaks my heart, and I know it breaks yours, is that people just turn it down. They say, no, I don't want any part of that. And someday, as the Bible tells us, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But at that point, it's going to be too late. You'll still have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, but there won't be anything that you can do about changing what decision you made while you were alive. So we do beg people to consider the reality of that and the finality of eternity. And well, it was there.
I was asked one time, I had a gentleman that I worked with, great guy, and we used to have lunch together quite often. And he said to me one time, he said, why is it that Christians feel like they've got to, you know, proselytize and so on? And I said, you know what? His name was Monty. I said, Monty, I can't speak for everybody else, just for me. And he was an agnostic, actually, at the time. He started out as an atheist, and I shared some things with him and moved him to an agnostic. So we were headed in the right direction. But anyway, I said to him, I said, Monty, I can't speak for everybody else, but here's what I can tell you. If I believe that this book speaks the truth, and I believe there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that those that don't receive Jesus Christ are going to spend eternity in this place called hell. And I don't tell you about it, and I don't tell you how not to go there, then one of two things is true. Either I really don't believe that this is true, or I am literally the most sadistic and wicked and evil friend you could possibly have.
That's a very powerful way of presenting it, and it's absolutely true. And I know that by having these conversations that you and I are having right now, and the ones that you have every day and the ones I have every day, there sometimes are people listening who are maybe on the fence and maybe this side of heaven. We will never know. But the reason that we talk about these things openly and honestly, whether it's face-to-face like you and Monty, or whether it's just some anonymous person who's watching this right now or will see it later, is that these are truths that need to be revealed, and people should be paying attention and take into deep consideration the things that we're saying, because it is serious and it is for eternity.
And I want folks, just as I close our time together today, just to understand that there is nothing you've done that the blood of Christ can't forgive, and there is no sin or temptation that you have been presented with or that you are struggling with that God cannot set you free from. Say this with me right now. Just say this with me right now. Put your hands on your head and say this with me. Heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for my sins. And I make this declaration. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
If you said that and you meant it and you believe it, transformation just took place in your life. And I want you to please reach out to me at PastorGreg@ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Just put in the memo, salvation, and I'll reach back to you. We'll get you connected, and we'll get you some resources to help you in this journey. That's PastorGreg@ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Rob, God bless you, man. What a joy. You know, we did not plan this. We had no script.
I love it when the Holy Spirit is at work and it's really manifest in conversations like this. And I appreciate the opportunity to join you anytime and also to speak with your audience, Greg.
I'm so grateful to have you, brother. God bless you. Thank you so very much. All right, we're out of time. Thank you again for being with me today. I appreciate it, folks. Be sure and stay tuned in. You can get the archives of all of this at ChildrenGenerationRadio.com. In the show archives, it directs you as to exactly how to get it. God bless you and have a great rest of your day.